Well, today, just like every Lord's Day, we gather together to celebrate our risen Savior. We have been able to worship together a few times now over the past seven days in these Passion Week services. Again, on Palm Sunday, we remembered Jesus as the King who came into Jerusalem for the last time before he would be handed over to the authorities, then beaten and crucified by Romans. And those who rejected Jesus, those who did not know him, he reminded us that they would be punished for their sins. Jerusalem would be destroyed in 40 years. Jesus' opponents would ultimately face God's wrath. Then for Maundy Thursday, we considered the observance of Passover, which Christ fulfilled as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. On that Passover night, that Maundy Thursday so many years ago, Jesus gave his disciples that new tradition of the Lord's Supper. And with this observance, we have that visual reminder of Jesus' body given for us in the bread, his blood that was shed for us in the wine or the juice. On Good Friday, we look back to the day of Jesus' crucifixion, when Jesus finished his work here on earth. He gave himself up as our perfect sacrifice, as our Redeemer. Jesus' body was then placed in the tomb that evening. It remained there on the seventh day, on the Sabbath. On that day, on the seventh day, he rested. And now we are here to celebrate in this Christian community, which we call the church, to honor our Savior who conquered the grave, the one who reigns victorious over all creation. He is risen, right? That's why I like to call this Resurrection Sunday. This is a Christ-centered holiday, a day of joy and remembrance. When we confess our one true hope, Jesus suffered and died for sinners, and yet he now lives in his glorious resurrected body with the Father in heaven. No other religion can look to a living Savior who died, who rose again. Because we, as Christians, worship the one true living God. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Jesus is our Lord. He is our Master. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So today on this Resurrection Sunday, let us look to him to whom all glory and honor is due. Today we glorify Jesus Christ in this, our time of worship. Is he worthy? He is. I'll be reading today from John chapter 20, and you can follow along as I read the account of Jesus with Mary Magdalene, verses 11 through 18. Hear now the word of the Lord. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. Now, on the morning of that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and those other women came to the place where Jesus was buried in order to anoint his body with spices and ointments. Now, this is what Luke tells us in his gospel account. When they arrived, they were shocked to find that that large stone placed in front of the tomb had been rolled away. I'm not sure how those women planned to move that stone by themselves to get to the body. Perhaps they hoped to find someone there to help them. Nevertheless, this wouldn't be necessary. You can read in Matthew 28:2 that there was something like a great earthquake as an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. There were two angels who appeared to the women. One of them assured these ladies that they had no reason to fear. Jesus' body was no longer there. In fact, if they had believed what Jesus had said to them, they would have been expecting this. So the angel said to them, "He is not here, for he has risen just as he said." Now, when Mary Magdalene witnessed what had taken place, she quickly departed. She went into the city to tell those disciples all she had seen. Just like the women, those disciples were bewildered. That's when Peter and John went running to the tomb to see if these things were true. Now, remember, it was Peter who denied Jesus three times in the early morning hours, a few nights prior to this. At when Jesus had been arrested. Now, Peter later recognized his sin, and he wished to have that relationship restored by our merciful Savior. His love for Christ would prove to be greater than his fear of men. So when Peter and John arrived at the tomb, they found it just as Mary had said. The body was gone, yet the grave clothes were still there. The face cloth was still placed in that spot where Jesus' body had rested. When the disciples saw these things, they were amazed and they went back to their houses. Now that brings us to our passage for this morning. After those two disciples left the tomb, we read that Mary had remained there. Now, there are a few women named Mary who are present at the crucifixion of Jesus. We are told that Jesus' mother, Mary, was standing there with John while Jesus hung on the cross. There was another woman named Mary who is the mother of James the Younger and Joseph. And she also watched as Jesus was placed in the tomb. But this woman mentioned here in John 20 is Mary Magdalene. Apart from this and other gospel accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection, the only other mention of Mary Magdalene in Scripture is found in Luke 8, verse 2. Luke tells us about some of the people who were traveling with Jesus. There were the 12 called apostles. There were several women, Luke says, among whom was Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. And there were others who walked with him, who provided for their needs. So Mary Magdalene is not frequently mentioned in the Bible, but yet we see how much she loved Jesus. Now in our passage, we see that Mary was distraught. Not only did she believe that Jesus was dead, but now she was convinced that someone had secretly come to the tomb and removed his body and taken it somewhere. So she stood weeping at the entrance of the tomb. Mary still wanted to be near Jesus. She wanted to give him honor by coming to that place. She had hoped to continue following him, to learn from him as one of his many disciples. Now, all of this had happened so fast for Mary. Everyone seemed to be excited when Jesus came into Jerusalem. On that previous Sunday, they ushered him in with shouts of Hosanna. He taught and he ministered among the people of Jerusalem that week. He even enjoyed a Passover meal with his closest disciples just a few nights prior to this. But then came the betrayal. Judas, one of the 12 called apostles, handed him over to the temple guard. We remember how Jesus was questioned in that mock trial that was riddled with false witnesses and false accusations. Now, Mary must have held on to hope when Pilate said that he could find no fault in Jesus. And yet we see that the religious hypocrites incited the crowd to shout their judgment against Jesus, saying, "Crucify him." In fact, they would rather have Barabbas, that notorious insurrectionist and murderer, to be released instead of Jesus. Well, even after Pilate determined to appease the crowd by having Jesus flogged, they were still not satisfied. They wanted Jesus to die. So Jesus was taken to Calvary, bearing that cross that he would be nailed upon until he breathed his last breath. So I'm sure Mary was thinking, why did this have to happen? Couldn't he have stopped this? I mean, he saved so many others, and now his time is at an end. Well, Mary, in this passage we see, didn't know what happened to the body. So she was filled with all this sadness and confusion. Now, to add to Mary's confusion, now she encountered these two angels inside the tomb who spoke to her as if to say, well, don't you know what happened? They asked her why she was weeping. Well, she had witnessed Jesus' death. Of course she was sad. Now, Peter and John didn't see these angels. They left before this encounter. And it seems that Mary still couldn't comprehend the words of the angel at that first encounter when he said, he is not here, he is risen. Instead, she continued with the belief that someone had removed the body and had hidden it somewhere else. I mean, this seemed to be the only logical conclusion. The body was gone. But here's what we need to remember. When it comes to God, we would do well to put aside our human logic and simply trust Him at His word to us. The simple human mind cannot comprehend God's ways. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, maybe it sounded like foolishness to hear that Jesus was not actually dead, but that he had risen. Yet God was acting in his own wisdom. This was his perfect and sovereign will. Now, as Mary stood there considering what the angel said to her, she turned around and she saw someone else standing with her. Now, she didn't recognize this person. Perhaps it was the gardener who was in charge of caring for the tomb and this place surrounding the tomb. But John tells us who this person was. It was Jesus. Jesus had suddenly appeared to Mary. We see in several other resurrection accounts that Jesus appeared as if out of nowhere before the disciples. He even had the capability to pass through walls and to vanish from their sight in an instant. His glorified, resurrected body was not limited to the same laws of physics as our own fleshly, mortal bodies. His is a very different type of body. And just like those men who walked and talked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, Mary didn't recognize him at first. I'm not sure what kept these people from knowing who they were talking to, but it seems that Jesus had veiled his true identity from them for some reason. If you remember, those two men who spoke with Jesus after the resurrection didn't recognize him until he sat at the table with them, when he said that blessing and broke the bread for them to eat. It was then that their eyes were opened, the veil was removed, and they knew that Jesus was there with them. In a similar way, Mary did not recognize Jesus until he spoke her name. But before she recognized him, Mary thought Jesus was simply a local man who knew where the body had been taken. Again, Mary was grieving. And she, along with those other women, wanted to come and care for Jesus' body, anoint it with spices and ointments. Perhaps she thought someone had removed the body and had desecrated it in some way. I mean, Jesus had some very powerful enemies. Who knows what kind of awful things they could have done to his body? She couldn't bear the thought. So we see in this passage that Mary Magdalene cared very deeply for Jesus. She came with these women to show respect to Jesus' body as soon as possible, at sunrise, right after the Sabbath. It seems that even Jesus' closest disciples were still too afraid to come to that place yet. But Mary's love for Jesus brought her there. Now, John tells us that it was at this time that something very remarkable happened to Mary. She was the first witness of the risen Savior. And when Jesus called her by name, Mary realized who this was. She immediately responded to him saying, Rabboni, or teacher. So it's true, Jesus is alive. Mary was overcome with joy. She was excited to see Jesus, to speak with him once again. We see how much Mary loved Jesus, how much she cared for him. She didn't want to lose him again. John implies here that Mary meant to embrace Jesus, to hold him tightly, to keep him near. Now, this is understandable. When we encounter Jesus, we are filled with unspeakable joy, and we have this strong desire to abide with him, to learn from him. His love, his mercy, and his grace are better than anything else we can experience here on earth. All who come near to him, all who labor and are heavy laden will find their rest in him. But Jesus reminds her, however, that he has other sheep in his flock. Mary was not the only one who would see Jesus after the resurrection. So Jesus gave her this instruction to go and tell the others that he was alive. She was to testify to what she had witnessed. Now in doing this, in sharing the good news that Jesus is not dead, but that he is alive, Mary became the first evangelist to proclaim the risen Savior. She would go and tell the disciples so that they would also know the truth. Now this is a great example for us. If we know Jesus, if we know him as our Lord and Savior, then we should share our faith with others. And in doing so, our love for God and our love for others will increase. And we will experience even more joy when others hear the good news and believe. It should be our strong desire to make Jesus known and to see more people come into the kingdom of God. Is this your desire? Do you want to see more people saved? If so, then be like Mary. Share the gospel of Christ. Pray that God would open the hearts of those who hear. Now, as I already said, Mary didn't want Jesus to leave her again. She wanted to remain with him. But as we see in verse 17, that was not Jesus' will. He would not remain on the earth for much longer. He would soon ascend into heaven to sit at the Father's right hand. Mary wanted him to stay, but he must depart. And yet this would actually be for her good. As Jesus told the disciples on the night before his crucifixion, he would be leaving this world, that he must go to be with the Father, but he would not leave them alone. He would send the Helper. He would send the Holy Spirit to them. They would soon find out on that day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit would come to those who believe. He would come and live in every Christian believer to seal us as God's people, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us wisdom, to point us to Christ. And thus, through the work of God the Holy Spirit, the church would grow. And because of this, we can know God and we can have the hope of eternal life. Now, I want to finish preaching on this passage with just one last observation. Again, we notice that Mary did not recognize Jesus at first when he simply called her woman. verse 15, he says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary remained distraught and bewildered. She wanted to find Jesus. But there he was speaking to her, and yet she didn't even realize it. But when Jesus called her by name, Mary believed that it was him. Her eyes were opened. She knew that she had seen the Lord. Her love for Jesus increased when she knew that the Lord was with her. Now, realistically, this is how it is for all of us who are Christians. When someone hears about Jesus as if he is hearing mere words about him, his eyes and his heart may remain closed to the Lord. Maybe he has heard the gospel call, but he doesn't understand it. It doesn't really mean anything to him. But when God calls us by name, when he opens our heart to hear him, to trust in him, our eyes are open, our ears are open, and we hear and we believe. We truly hear God's call. We respond to it. We become, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, born again. We have a new heart and a new spirit. Paul says, "The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are new creations." The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, and we realize our desperate need to be saved by our only Redeemer, the one who conquered death and who finished the work of salvation for us. That is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Like Mary Magdalene, can you say, "I have seen the Lord"? Not that you've seen him with your physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes. The Lord Jesus lived that perfect life for us as the spotless Lamb of God. In the body of his flesh, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Do you believe this? If you believe, then you will turn to him. Turn away from your selfish and sinful ways and live for Jesus and follow him. Like the writer of Hebrews says, don't harden your hearts, but hear his voice. Look to the Lord and be saved. Now, I can't force anyone to believe. I can only spread the seeds of the gospel like that sower in Jesus' parable. I can only implore you to look to Christ, to trust in him. Trust him with your life. Don't trust your own insufficient ways and your own human understanding. But we are to come to Christ in faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." We can have the assurance of eternal life through faith in Christ. This is by God's grace. Now, if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can stand before the Lord justified and blameless. You can have peace with God. As Paul says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, that's what we deserve. We all deserve eternal death. We deserve to be punished in hell forever. But Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, "But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, God's word is truth. Believe what he has said. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Trust him as your only way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Give him the glory. He is worthy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. Every Sunday we come before you with gathering with one another and celebrating what you have done for us. But today of all days, we especially focus on that. on that fact that you died for our sins. You were buried in the grave. You rose again, defeated death, and now we can have victory. This should humble us. We don't deserve this. We have turned our backs on you so many times, and yet you are merciful. You are forgiving. You are loving. So much more loving than we are. God, teach us how to love like you do. Teach us how to honor you and honor your ways, to put aside our selfish desires, to put aside those things that we bicker and argue about that are meaningless, that we simply cling to you, just as Mary wanted to cling to you and not let you go, that we would trust in you, that we would look to you, and that we could also say, I have seen the Lord. And then we can be filled with joy, knowing that we have true hope. We have a Savior who loves us, who did the work possible to redeem us from sin and death, and to give us the glories of heaven. So let us praise you, remembering this on this wonderful day, this Lord's day that you have given us. Amen.